Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. U.S. Congressman Dusty Johnson is in South Dakota for the August work period. Congressman Johnson was sworn in during a partial government shutdown. He secured a seat on the House Agriculture Committee and is currently ranking member of the Agriculture Subcommittee on Nutrition and Oversight. After recent hearings on SNAP benefit and eligibility requirements, the USDA issued a ruling to reform the process. Congressman Johnson stopped by the SDPB Sioux Falls studios this morning to talk about changes in broad-based categorical eligibility. Well, let's start with what exactly is broad-based categorical eligibility so folks understand what's at stake
here. Yeah, and I'll back up even a half a step further, which is what is categorical eligibility? And that makes a lot of sense. That is for administrative efficiency. And that's what South Dakota uses. And that says, you know, if you qualify for a program that's for really poor people, like TANF, that's cash assistance for the poorest among us, clearly if you're that poor, you should also qualify for food stamps, which doesn't require you to be quite so poor. And that kind of administrative efficiency makes sense. That's the kind of thing that South Dakota uses. And that's the kind of thing that the administration federally wants to move toward having all states utilize. Broad-based categorical eligibility goes a step further. And I think it strains that concept a little too strong. And I'll give you just one example. There are some states where you can receive a brochure from the TANF program, and the state considers the receipt of that brochure as the receipt of, quote, a benefit, meaning you're eligible for food stamps, even though nobody ever checked your how many assets you've got. That,
how
I think, goes
brochure,
too far.
How is the brochure distributed? Just randomly at the park, or is there an application process to get the brochure?
No application process to get the brochure. I mean, that's why it is viewed as such an abuse. So what the Trump administration wants to do is say, hey, listen, to really be on to get a TANF, quote, benefit, you have to receive $1,000 a year. And that, I think, makes sense. That means you're really on TANF rather than just receiving some de minimis benefit.
All right. So tell us about how this works with the administration and the USDA can make this policy change. Your committee is not making that policy change. Help us figure out who's exactly in charge of that decision.
Yeah. So, we had a farm bill in 2018, in the last quarter of 2018 that came together. And there's actually a lot of welfare reform that happens in the farm bill, because 80% of the spending of any farm bill is on food stamps, SNAP. And there were debates, discussions about to what extent make this change in law. Ultimately, Congress was silent on this. So the congressional intent from previous farm bills was still in place. And I think when I look at it, congressional intent clearly supports categorical eligibility. I don't think it supports broad-based categorical eligibility.
So in South Dakota, we don't have the broad-based.
No, there should be no impact for South Dakotans with this change proposed by the administration. I mean, there may be, I'm sure somebody could put together a fact set where people would be impacted. But by and large, the people who qualify for food stamps and for TANF and for school lunches shouldn't be impacted.
What is the change then? What's changing?
Well, just that in these states that have really, really, you know, what it really comes down to for most people are how many assets do you have? Right. There's a gentleman from Minnesota. He's called the Minnesota Millionaire. Mr. Undersander, and he has millions of dollars worth of assets. He volunteers his time in helping people, seniors by and large, sign up for welfare programs. And he realized that in Minnesota, they had taken this eligibility flexibility too far. And so he, by telling the entire truth and nothing but the truth on his application form, was able to receive food stamps. And he did this as a whistleblower. He wanted to bring attention to the fact that it is unfortunate that Minnesota lets people with $1 million of assets be on these welfare programs, which should be targeted toward the poorest among us. So what the Trump administration wants to do is just make it clear that for you to qualify for food stamps automatically because you're on TANF, for you to qualify for school lunch automatically because you're on TANF, you really do need to be on TANF.
Would that impact farmers or other people who maybe have assets that and yet are still very, very cash poor, and especially in the current climate with trade wars and the farm economy?
Yeah, I don't. In South Dakota, you won't see that kind of impact. I mean, there may be folks in Minnesota, for example, who, you know, have large operations and have millions of dollars of assets, and who can at times be cash poor. But I think as a country, we have to back up and we have to ask ourselves, in a world of very scarce resources, where we know that there are people out there who are really, really struggling, and who do we want our scarce food resources going to help? Is it the person with millions of dollars of assets, or is it the person who just doesn't have anything? And I think we want to start by focusing those resources on the most needy among us.
So during the subcommittee hearings, you were able to speak as ranking member, and you talked about bipartisanship in the sense that you said there's a lot of this that we agree on. And the chair, Congressman Fudge, talked about the bipartisan support for categorical eligibility from back to Bill Clinton and mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich making this partnership, and it's been a long standing. And then it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of bipartisan conversation other than those two statements that, you know, she made a statement and you made a statement, and the rest was a lot of, you know, you're attacking poor people, you're kicking kids off school lunches, this millionaire, it was a stunt that is now punishing millions of people and hundreds of thousands of school kids. Talk a little bit about that and sort of the notion of, you know, we have common ground, we want to get there, but yet this is an incredibly divisive issue about poor people being punished because a millionaire decided he wanted to prove a point.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing about Washington, you know, Washington, D.C. There are certainly some policy disagreements in this issue, but the real disagreements are political. And that is that everybody, I mean, my party's certainly not immune to it, but, you know, everybody is so interested in playing to the political rhetoric and trying to make the broader point about how Republicans are bad because we're coming up on an election, or Democrats are bad because we're coming up on an election, that it's hard to just get people to sit down and just cut the kind of common sense deal that needs to be cut. Here's what I know for sure. I know everybody on the Ag Committee believes that we need a social safety net. I know that everybody on that committee believes that that social safety net should be targeted toward people who need help the most. I know everybody believes that somebody who has millions of dollars of assets doesn't need help the most. So what are we fighting about?
And your answer is?
I think some people like, you know, I'm the top Republican on the committee, which is a real honor for a freshman. My approach, just because I come from South Dakota, I think is more often to try to find, I mean, if your worldview and my worldview only overlap 15%, well, that's where the magic happens. Let's go cut a deal on that 15%. I think, Chair Fudge, Marsha Fudge from Cleveland, who I have a lot of respect for, I think she is more of a typical member of Congress who I think is inclined to focus more on the differences of opinion and try to communicate message, not to the committee, but to the broader American public about where, you know, the opposition is wrong. And it's a different style. It's not one I'm in love with, I tell you that.
And so, I mentioned earlier in the conversation those headlines, which would be how many people are going to get kicked off of SNAP because of this. So I'm guessing Chair Fudge would say that's what we're fighting about. We're fighting about those 3 million people.
Yeah, and the reality is, I mean, if you qualify, you know, again, South Dakota's, you know, this is, we're not talking about South Dakotans here, but, you know, if we're talking about Minnesotans.
It's a nationwide conversation, yeah.
Right, and South Dakota does it in the way that the administration wants other states to do it. So, you know, when we're talking about, you know, kicking, you know, millions off of programs, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, thousands of South Dakotans for sure. You know, the reality is if you qualify for food stamp, I mean, if you qualify for reduced or free school lunch, if you qualify that for that program, you're going to be a part of that program. It's only because maybe you don't qualify for the program. You make too much money, or you have too much in assets. And so you have qualified kind of coming through the back door of another program that you are getting these free and reduced school lunches. So question number one would be, if you don't qualify for the program, why are we providing you that benefit? And does providing you that benefit come at the cost of somebody else who could use that benefit even more acutely? The second issue would be, the facts indicate, different studies say different things, but somewhere between 93 and 99% of the people who are on free or reduced school lunch today will continue to be on free and reduced school lunch in the future. So when people talk about millions being kicked off, there's actually no expert who thinks that that's going to happen. That's a political talking point, not real information.
So to be clear, when Chair Fudge sends a letter and says 3 million people are going to, and she quoted the Congressional Budget Office during the hearing and talked about 400,000 eligible households losing benefits, you're not saying that that many people are defrauding the system.
No, absolutely not.
Clarify that.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the blame really rests with state governments. I mean, if they are saying that you can receive a de minimis benefit from one program, and that entitles you to thousands of dollars of benefits of food stamps, even though you don't qualify for that program, that's a problem. That is, we need to have a strong and efficient social safety net. That kind of flexibility, that kind of a loophole, actually weakens the safety net. And it doesn't target those resources. And so I don't, you know, listen, if somebody shows up and says, oh, hey, you received this de minimis benefit from TANF, so we're going to allow you access to food stamps, that person doesn't know they don't qualify. They don't know. I don't necessarily expect that they would go research that, oh, I can have two cars and I can have a house, but I can't have more than $2,500 worth of emergency fund. I have $3,200 worth of emergency fund. I shouldn't qualify. I don't expect them to do that research. What I expect is for a state government to follow the congressional intent that we should have flexibility in enrolling these programs, but that flexibility should allow eligible participants, not ineligible participants, to receive the benefits.
So does it just separate the application process? So you have to apply for your free school lunch versus checking the box that says, I already am on SNAP benefits, therefore I get my free school lunch.
Well, so as long as you're, I mean, the proposed changes from, you know, the Department of Ag says that if you're getting more than $1,000 worth of benefit from TANF in a year, it is still streamlined. Okay. You would automatically qualify. If you received, you know, a de minimis benefit, then yeah, you'd have to fill out the, you know, two-page application form.